Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your words. Thank you for the comfort that they bring. Thank you for your people. We magnify your name. There's none like you. God is good. Father, we give you praise. There's none like you. Rebaska Taliga, Brad Wasuba, Katisha, Tatida, Bradoska, Talida, Eadabaska, Tabraska, Kabasi, Deboska, Tadibaska, Tadida, Brad Boska, Tadida. I give you praise, Lord. Marakabuska, Talina. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, just worshiping. Rebuska Kadisha is the great and almighty God. It's greatly to be praised. Rebuska Tanda Brosidere, Beka Prado, Sikeke, Deblotuska Tanida, Lekatom Bradiska Tanabas, Ekabaska Tanida. Just worshiping. Reklandom Bladiska Tiki Boska Kadisha Tanigra, Deboska Tanida. Doske te bombla da boska kalira bradoske te bombla da baska ta ligra diska ta lia le broska ka de boske di se te liga da basanda da na boske te di mangla daske ke bos e ya da bos
to be praised, beautiful in all situations.
God, we give you praise. That's what we know you to be, the great and the mighty God. And thank you because you show up on our behalf. And now you are our hope and our joy. We magnify you, we worship you this morning. Let your name be exalted. And our worship be acceptable to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. I hope you look forward to a wonderful week. Hallelujah. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15 and the fourth verse. It says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen. So when we read the scriptures, they are written so that we learn. When we read the scriptures, when we learn, we see patience, we see comfort, and invariably hope. Amen. Last Sunday, we were praying. We said that Isaac sowed in the land, and he began to prosper and prosper until he became very prosperous. Amen. He began to prosper and prosper until he became very prosperous. There is a process in everything. It was written in only one sentence, but we were not told how long it took. But what we understand is that he kept getting better and better and better and better until he became very prosperous. So he kept at whatever he was doing. He kept at it and kept doing it and he kept doing it. And as he was doing it, he was progressing. Hallelujah. There's always a beginning and there's an end. We never despise the days of little beginnings. The scriptures were written for us to learn from. Today we'll learn from the ants. We'll learn from the ants. Proverbs chapter 6. Rabas kabu shatalika dubaka kapuske tedisa tapoka. I'm reading the NKJV, just in case. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Proverbs 6, verse 6, sorry. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Amen. Romans chapter 1. So that you don't say, what's wrong with this man? Are you teaching me about ants? Some people make money from learning about ants. Abby? Some make money from learning about animals. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Sorry, Romans. Sorry. La 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 la. Agbara. Toju agbara lo. Says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you look at things around you, it tells you volumes of God who created them. Okay? It says those things, his invisible attributes are seen, clearly seen by the things that are made. Hallelujah. And even if you look at man generally, okay, for every man's invention is a reflection of that man. Abi? I don't believe. So if I sit down now and decide to create a robot, and I create that robot so that when you go to that robot, I speak to that robot, the robot begins to preach to you. It tells you volumes of what was inside of me when I was creating that robot. All right? You know that there are robots now that there are robots that as that they are built that are bigger than human beings. They are built like human beings. I saw one the other day was playing table tennis and was beating everybody. So the intention of the person that created that robot was for that robot to be able to play and understand that game. So man's invention is like that. So if you look at that robot, you look at, oh, whoever created it, what was he trying to do? He's saying that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen through the things that are made. Hallelujah. In Proverbs, he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider ways and be wise. And there are so many things you can get from the ant, even if you are not a sluggard. So many things. The first one of the things that you can get is structure. In the ant colony, there's structure. And everybody understands his role. So they say there's the queen, there are the soldiers, and there are the laborers in the ant colony. See, the queen is not trying to do the work of the soldier. Neither is the soldier trying to do the work of the queen. And when I was reading, he said some of them are cleaners in that colony. The cleaner does not want to become a laborer. Are you getting me? Neither does the cleaner want to become a queen in the ant colony. The cleaner simply understands that I'm a cleaner and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. The laborer simply understands that I'm a laborer. And he does not see to the left or to the right. He just understands that this is what I'm supposed to be doing and he's doing it diligently. Amen. So I said there's structure. So there are three kinds, the workers, the queen, and the males. And each one of these, they do different jobs, and they are well organized. They carry out their task through division of labor. Nothing is left undone in the ant colony because of the well-organized structure, which has already been in place. For individuals who are not organized, you have to learn to be organized. See, if you look at the trend of things from maybe when you were born to now. Okay, let me use when I was born to now. I've not seen anything improving. Okay? In terms of the way we complain or the things around us, you have not seen anything so different. So today something goes bad, tomorrow you expect it to be better. Right? I've not seen it go bad and then it suddenly becomes better. What I've seen is that when things go, in quote, bad, God on the inside of you rises to meet that challenge. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if there's anything to surmount in the secular world, outside there, God steps into the situation. And he cannot step in if you cannot see. The one of the things that was written about the ants that I saw was that they're busy all year round. Busy all year round. But they're not busy doing nothing. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Chronicles Chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 32. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and their brethren were at their command. So this was about David and the children of Israel. And I was telling you the different tribes and what they were supposed to be doing. Okay? But it talks about the children of Issachar, the sons of Issachar. He said they had an understanding of the times. You know, a lot of people stop there, right? Say we have understanding of the times. But if you remember, he says to know what Israel ought to do. Amen. It says they had the understanding of times, not just for the sake of it. Okay? For them to they know what Israel, not even them, what Israel is supposed to do. And so if the sons of Issachar are speaking, they are speaking to Israel, and Israel is not listening, Israel will be in danger of not doing the right thing at the right time. Amen. There is a time and season for everything. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1, to everything there's a time, a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Verse 8. And a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Hallelujah. So the different times we have is not an idle time. That's what this part of the Bible is saying. So when we move into different phases of life, it's not supposed to be an idle time. It's a time for a certain activity to be done. And for all of us, we have to have a time and an understanding of the time that we are in the dispensation of God. Hallelujah. The other day I was explaining to you that in the rainy season, everybody will not experience rain at the same time. Okay, so if it begins to rain here right now, even though we're in the same city, it may not rain some 1 kilometer away from us. But still the same raining season. Okay? That the time that everybody is in is different. Hallelujah. Amen. Under the same dispensation. But it takes an understanding of that time for you to know what to do. Hallelujah. So when I was reading about the ants, it says that they keep digging. So if you see an ant colony, you see a mound on the surface of the earth, and then you go and scatter it and say you have scattered their colony, you are just deceiving yourself. And that's why it's important for you to dig your roots very deep. So if you scatter whatever you see on the surface of the earth, they're not bothered. What you see on the surface of the earth is the earth that they have been able to pull out on their way to dig in. And why do they dig that deep? You need to find out. So why do these ants keep digging and digging? So when I was studying, it says they dig, okay, so that they can keep their body moist and from danger. So they keep digging. So if they think that this thing is getting, is no longer satisfying the kind of moisture they need, they keep digging. And the males that are the laborers keep doing that. They keep finding something better than where they were before. So that it looks like there is no end to their digging. Are you getting me? So it tells me that the ants, they don't just sit down when they dig and they find some warmth or some moisture. They don't. They just sit down and say, oh, I've arrived. They sit down and say, it can be better. They sit down and look at it and say, it could be better. They sit down and look at it. They understand that there could be dangers. Okay? Because they do sense. The other day, I think it was one Thursday service, I was talking about that box of sugar. Abby, the box of sugar. Or even, let's not bother about the box of sugar. I was talking about the box of sugar. Okay? And in that box of sugar, when an ant finds itself in it, it's not that kind of ant that is the same ant that builds or borrows. So if an ant finds itself in it, it's not enough. Just like we were reading the Bible this morning, that says that if you have faith, that's not enough. So he finds itself in sugar, and he does not taste the sugar. He has nothing to go and evangelize about. Don't get me wrong, though. So, if it finds sugar in the twinkle of an eye, you will see other ants come there. Because one has seen it and has gone to call the others and say, come, guys, there's something here. That's another story about ants entirely that we talk about. They're not selfish, not like you and I. Man is very selfish. If you want to buy something now and park in front of somebody's shop, say, come, don't park in front of my shop. I won't be able to sell. If you have sold since morning, said no. So how is the parking in front of the shop? Don't go to let you sell. Meanwhile, some people, cars will park in front of their shop and go away, and they're selling. And they won't disturb those people. It's God that announces man. Oliab, the story of Oliab and Bezalel in the Bible still marvels me till today. They were craftsmen, and there were so many craftsmen in the whole of Israel. God said, I have put in them the spirit of excellence. He said, all these things I'm telling you to do, don't be bothered about it. So there will be instructions. Don't be bothered about all these things. I put into them that spirit of excellence. They will be able to do, they will do and they will teach men to do. So they were like the reference point. But you know what it tells me? That Oliab and Bezalel were not doing things of their own power. They were doing things according to instruction that God has given them, and they were able to teach other men. Hallelujah. So let me go back to the hunt. So as they keep burrowing into the ground, they do not stop. So as some burrow or whatever you call it, is it burrow or burrow? Or anyway, as a dig, it may cause problem. As they dig, some dig. Okay? And then some clear all the debris
and bring it out.
Then you can scatter it and say these hands are disturbing. Meanwhile, he's getting his own life better. And the ones that will sit down and relax, they will sit down and relax. Everybody in his own colony. What I'm saying is that once the ant sees an opportunity to dig, he digs. You have to learn from the ant. When in Proverbs 6:6, Solomon was talking to the sluggard, right? He said, you have to learn from the ant. The times are difficult. The times are whatever. They are challenging. But it cannot be too challenging for opportunities not to abound. Are you getting me? When, some time ago, when they said there was scarcity of, was it tomato? That's when somebody became a millionaire. It won't be everybody. No. It won't be everybody because not everybody will take the opportunity. And not everybody will see it. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It says, the sons of Issachar had understanding of times to know what Israel ought to do. So when you see a shift in the situation of things around you, know that there's an opportunity in it for you to tap into. Hallelujah. So there was a man and a woman, man and wife. And all the man and the wife, they were just living in their house, okay? With their children. And the man and the wife, the man would go out, and the children, everybody at home, they complain, no, this is not working, that one is not working. So the man looks and says, okay, let me make life better. When he comes, he's fixing, he's anti-man. You know, that's how they turn us to. And daddy, the door is broken, you go. You fix it. And daddy, this one. So the man just kept doing everything. And he'll provide what he needs to provide. And then, one day, he said, there's no money. And the wife called him one day and said, these things that you do, there's money in it. Why don't you do it for other people? You know what he was doing? That I'm just giving an example. He's sitting down now and he's looking at this chair. He fixes it or creates a new chair for his household to use. That's the limit that he can see. And then he complains that there is no money. And then the wife looks and sees and says, if you can make this chair for us to sit, then you can do the same thing for other people to use. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the wife is the one that has understood the time to know what the husband ought to do. It is for the husband to listen and do. And it's a true life story, I'm telling you. It's not that I don't want to mention him. It's a true life story. So the husband will go, take that thing, do it, come back with money. And then one day he comes back home. And the children say, I want to do this. I said, okay, don't worry, I'll do it. I want to do this, don't worry, I'll do it. He said, why is it that every time we tell you that we want to do this, we do it, and you give it to us? He said, that's why I go out to work. Then he said, please just be going out to work. Amen. You cannot afford to box your head or yourself in thinking that there is scarcity. Because in scarcity, there are opportunities. Not one. Opportunities. Amen. If you know how to, what's the simplest thing to do? You see, and that's why, if you know how to wash clothes, if you know how to wash clothes, you know that in this time and age, nobody has time to wash clothes. People just come, carry their clothes, put it inside If they won't have the energy, they buy washing machine, abi. They put it inside the machine, and then leave it. They can't iron it. And then you sit down and you iron your own clothes, and you'll be feeling fine. Say, I'm looking cool. You can make money from ironing your own clothes by ironing other people's clothes. And is demeaning. In the ant colony, the laborers make life interesting for the other people. They do not consider their own situation. There's nothing demeaning in labor. Hallelujah. I was watching a documentary 2 days ago. And there was this gentleman that made so much money. And he said, in the early days of his life, the father would travel, was a business, was a government official, would travel. I think the father would travel and go. And then there was a period that he traveled for like a year. The people that were supposed to bring money to his family didn't bring money. And then the family had like an orchard. You know what an orchard is? Answer me now. Like a farm that has oranges. Eh? But you know that in those days where you have oranges in your compound, you sit down, pluck it, take it to your sitting room. You'll be sucking it and saying that it's from my father's compound. And then you're consuming everything. So the boy, I don't know how old he was, looked at it. I saw his mother laboring to get money. He now went to the market and told the women there that, do you want oranges to sell? He said, yes. The guy went to the orchard, plucked all the oranges and took it. Eh? Sold it and gave the mother the money. Ah, where did this money? It's in the orchard, their backyard. What his parents could not see, he saw and took advantage of. So for the 1 year that their father was away, because the father did not even know that they were not sending money to his family, they did not lack, because he sat down and could see. And up to today, all he's doing is busy seeing opportunities where we think there are difficulties. Mr. Sajiri was saying something there. Well, he said that you should see God. Eh? When you see God, you take advantage of you seeing God. Because if the opportunities come and you don't do anything, if it comes and you don't do anything, it's like you having faith and not speaking the word, just like we read this morning in Romans chapter 10. Life is not about complaining. It says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen through the things that he has made. If you look at the birds of the air, you see, they keep flying to and fro. These birds are flying aimlessly. They are not flying aimlessly. When you look at the ants, you say, why are these things working? But have you ever seen that when you see the ants, you don't see them scattered. The only time you see them scattered is when you and I, you say, hey. Because you don't understand what they are doing. They are so organized and so disciplined. You don't see anyone trying to overtake the other one. They will just be following. Because they have an end and a purpose. And soldiers, ants are also like what do you call it? They are like soldiers. They don't leave anyone behind. Go and strike one and see what will happen. They'll come back. They'll carry it. Say, how will you see? If you can go and buy a magnifying glass. They'll be watching them. Until you and I become active in the things that God has shown us, we cannot experience the promises that he has given to us. Or we keep shouting from today to tomorrow that he has finished everything and everything is ready. Things are ready. You need to get up and take those things that are ready. Hallelujah. Because if they are ready and you don't use it, it's of no use. And then we'll all be crying. And I keep telling us one thing. That the way God, when God puts a set of people together, everything that those people need is in their midst. If you say, my family is just three, we need help, it's a lie. It's a lie. Those three that God has created, in their midst, they have all that they need. If they are 25, I mean, how many are you, Mr. Sajid? 27. God of mercy. If there are 27 in the family, you know what that 27 means? Even if his wife, even if father had 10 children, 10 wives, that means each one had about how many? Two. How many wives did he have? So he did it two. No matter the numbers, it's in their midst that God is going to bring out whatever they need, all of them together. The children of Israel, when they were going to build, Moses told them, he said, they should bring what? Gold. For the building of the temple. Right within their midst. Where were they? In the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. But when they were leaving Egypt, they left Egypt with the spoils of Egypt. That's the God you serve. He makes a provision for every vision. And he sees the end from the beginning. When he was telling them that, don't worry, when you are leaving this Egypt, you are going to, all this gold of Egypt that is making this Egyptians think that their money, you are going to live with that thing. God knew that. He knows that he will need that gold right there in the wilderness. So when he said they should bring, they brought enough to do the work of the temple. And then he had to take Moses, say, go and tell them to stop bringing. And yet they refused. I'm saying that your numbers are not a limitation. It is how well you can see God and hear him in the midst of things that makes a difference. Someone will say, I have only one child. We see people, this is the only child of the family, yet he's feeding billions. It's because that child has been able to see an opportunity. And mind you, those opportunities, they are there for all of us to tap into. Proverbs 6. Verse 8. It says, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. The ants are not caught by surprise, but whatever season they are in. Do you hear me? They are not caught by surprise, irrespective of the season that they are in. And in as much as we do complain about the economy of this nation, and I'm very deliberate about this nation, you should know that the economy of heaven has sustained you from this small 2023 January to now. Because I don't think I've been to any market in January, and I go back in February and the same price that it was in January this year. If you go in January and it's 10 naira, if you come in February, it's 10 naira 50 kobo. If you come in March, it will be 11 naira. Then you come in June, it's 35 naira. That's how things have been happening. Amen. Hallelujah. But God gives you the ability to match those things and do much more. And he's talking like that. I'm talking like that because that's what the Bible tells me. It says when the enemy comes, he's able to raise a standard. He raises a standard. But God could have taken that flawed away, Abby. But he chose to raise a standard against it. Meaning that things will not go away. Amen. But you will surpass and overcome these things. And we won't be doing justice to God if we keep hammering on the things that we see. Hallelujah. Because these things that we see, they are temporary, they'll go away. See, when I was growing up, I told you, I think I've told you the story before. The things I always wanted, I was never able to afford them. When they're very cheap. I'm serious. In fact, in my family, we used to go and watch film, video, VHS. You know VHS? You know BMX or Betamax? It's a lie. This is facts. You don't know it. We used to go and watch it in my uncle's house. So my uncle was very rich. The day, was very rich, but now the man is my mother's uncle. So it's not my own, it's not even my own uncle, it's my mother's uncle. So he had the video, everything in his house. And then we drive like 20 minutes drive to his house. And then the reason why we go to his house is to watch video. When we get there, we just sit down, we play with the man, play. Then the man gets tired, says, do you want to watch him? That's why we came. Then he'll play the field, and then we got it. That's why I watched James Bond, 007, in his house. So all through my primary education and my secondary education, we didn't have. But by that time, we had left our city. But we didn't have that VHS. Then when I was going to go to university, my father thought in his capacity as my father to buy the VHS player then when I was going to go to university. I said, why are you buying this thing now? But that's the time you could afford it. And I laughed. And I look at it, every time anything is in vogue, I don't always used to be able to afford it. That's the truth. When they now say that thing is like times 10 the price, and that's the time I need it, God provides it. Mind my words, God provides it. I didn't say I was able to afford it. I won't carry my money to buy it. God provides it. The last time I used my money to buy phone was probably 2007. Was the last time I used my own money to buy phone for myself. Every single one I've used after that was given to me. And until I have a strong desire for another one, I won't have it. But now I have a strong desire, and I know that the one that will come out in September, I will have it. Amen. I know. I won't carry my money. I'll use my money for something else. God, look at these phones. They are crazy bills. Abi? You buy one phone for 1.5 million naira. It's not a problem. You're laughing. Except I want to make 3.5 million naira from now. I will go and buy it. But for me, it could be for Mr. Sajid to come and say, Pastor, how are you? $1.5 million. No. I would rather use the old one. So you to say, hello, how are you? But I'm telling you, this is how God works. So every one I've used has been given to me. And then when they said, I need a tablet, blah, 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 blah. I said, somebody came visiting. I said, do you want this? Also, I was going to form. We say, no, don't worry. He said, no, just take it. But that's how God provides. You run from money tonight that you want to go and get money to wear these things yourself. Sit down with God. If he tells you to go and make money, I'm not saying don't go and make money. You. But I'm saying that get the sons of Ishaka. He says, what they ought to do. I'm believing God now that I won't be buying car again. They'll just be giving me. So they give me the new model. Hallelujah. So if you see me driving here now, I didn't buy it all. And I didn't steal it. I was in the United States some time ago. And this particular woman, every time she's going to change her car, she changes her car every 4 years. And every time she's going to change her car, she's going to look for somebody in church to give that one. He'll give you, and she doesn't buy a car second hand like we buy in Nigeria. He buys them brand new. So if they give you a 4-year-old car, that she just drives the car from house to church and come back. And every 4 years, I've used it for 4 years, I don't need it again. But I'm not even talking about the fact that somebody will give you a 4-year-old car, you get a brand new car. If you can't see it, you can't get it. Oholiab and Bezalel, it was in the things that was in their hands. That's where God met them. They were craftsmen. And they were faithful craftsmen. And God said, I put in them an excellent spirit. If we will stop complaining in this period and look inward. I've told you when I was growing up, I used to sell coke and egg. I didn't used to hawk them, I used to sell them. So we buy coke, we sit down in front of the, we just put it outside, and then people come, and someone buy 2 bottles, someone buy. I used to sell coke. I used to sell egg. We have 12 beds. See, there's opportunity and everything. We had 12 beds. Then we'll put them in the cage. And then those ones, we'll give them layer. Then they start plooping eggs. Then we'll start counting. And then one said, guys, we cannot eat all these things. I'm going to sell. And you make money from it. Today I can tell you that it's a very lucrative business. But we didn't have 600. Then some people say, you need 600 beds to make any impact. We had just 12. And those 12, they were very faithful in delivering. So when we see that, these 12, is about, I think it's about a year or so, and then their productivity has diminished. When it's December, we take 4. We do Christmas. When it's Easter, the next 4 that is not laying, we take it. By that time, we replace them. That's when we eat. We don't eat our egg before they are hatched. Those birds, we don't eat them until they have delivered all the things they want to deliver, and then we now eat them. Hallelujah. There are things in your hands that you are not making use of. That's what I'm telling you. There are things in your hands that can make you money that you are not making use of. And you are complaining that things are not working. Everything that is meant to work has been made to work when Christ died for you. Hallelujah. But if you sit down and mope that things are not working, it's because you are not looking inward. Amen. God will bless me. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The time for you to act is now, is the one that is now waiting for you to act on the things that he has done. If you don't act, you will forever be shouting that he has blessed you and you are not acting, you will not see it. Amen. Isaac sowed in the land. Sowing is not a word of mouth. If you're a farmer and you're tilling the ground, you understand what sowing is. That is labor. Huh? It is labor. I used to have a farmland, very small farmland, when I was growing up. Very small one. It was for maize. That's the best we could do. When we notice 1 cob, 2 cobs, we are very happy. Then when it's ripe, we just remove it and eat it. But we never remember to plant another one. Because what we wanted was to see that result. Forgetting that there's going to be an after. That's what the ant does not do. They don't forget that there's going to be another season, and then another season, then another season. They are busy throughout the year, but not busy doing nothing.
They are busy moving from one level to another level.
Amen. There are things in your hands. When God was going to send Moses, what's in your hand? He said, a staff. That staff, you all know what it did. Stretch forth thy rod, stretch it forth. But it took Moses listening and looking at the staff and understanding that there's a staff in his hand. Our economy is the economy of heaven. Amen. And in heaven, if the ants are walking, and those are invisible attributes of God, we are to be walking. So that the things that we get from the work we do, they will be more than enough for us. We cannot sit down and cross our leg and say, my Lord, is our supply or my needs. It's not going to work. Because that's not how it's supposed to work. Amen. If you're not giving, you're not going to receive. It's just the law. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But underline the more. So that you don't say, hey, it's more blessed to give, so you don't want to receive. No. It's more blessed to give. It's more. When you receive, it's blessed as well. But when you give, it's more than when you receive. But it will return to you. When you give your time and energy to the work that you do, you receive from it. And I've been trying it, it's not working. It doesn't happen like that. There is a process. Hallelujah. And it might just be at the door. Let me tell you what happened yesterday and I'll stop. I was somewhere to help some people. And we looked at what we were doing. By calculation, it would take us 8 hours. And we started at 2:00. So that means that we're not supposed to leave that thing until 10 p.m. I said, it can't happen. No. I'll be here from 2 to 10 p.m. Doing what? Okay. So at around 5 p.m., we're feeling hungry. So let's go and buy something, then we'll come back. And I looked at the machine, and I told my colleague, I said, you know what, before we come back, this machine, I said, by the time we come back, we'll be done with this test, and we're going to go home very soon. I looked at it, I said, and we left. I went to buy food like Libra. I went to buy bread and cook. And then we came back. And we go back there. He said, go and check. I said, this thing will go down anytime. We'll be done with this test. It was 6:00. And then in 20 minutes, the thing just gave way. I was laughing. Because I had a strong impression in the spirit. But by calculation, it was supposed to be 10 p.m. If you can't work with the Spirit of God, you will miss things. And what happened was that before we went to buy that food, we were going to say, okay, let's go home. Okay? And then we'll delegate somebody to come back. But we needed to be there to be sure that that process that was running was not truncated. Otherwise, the test would be null and void. So, but because I perceived in my spirit that this thing went soon. When he said they wanted to, I said, I'll take you guys to go and buy food and then we'll come back. And that's how we saw the end of the process. There's patience in everything that you do. No patience, no result. No digging, no food. Amen. God has given everybody his own catchment area. Just understand where God has positioned you and do the things that he has asked you to do. Let's rise.
Let's just talk to God this morning. That you will understand the times so that you know what to do and you are able to do them. So when you understand the time, you know what to do per time, and you do what you do, what and you do what you know to do, then you get the result. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, meditate on this, on the law, day and night. Meditate on it. And then you do according to what he says. That way you make your way prosperous. It's in doing that you get results. It's in doing that you get the result. Just thank him. Talk to him this morning. Thank him. Rebaskate, produce, kapalikra, puskanta, te bruska, chesh, te di, de brada, baskata, boka, eka, protope, de bang, eska, se, se, te bruska, te bruska, te di, de, make, ke, ma, passe, te di, se, te, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, the book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Without doing, what you know is of no use. Without doing what you know is of no use. You're meditating on the word of God is so that you may know what to do. And so that you can do what you know to do. Father, we give you all the praise this morning. Thank you because we understand our times and our season. And thank you because we do what we ought to do when we ought to do them. And so that we will not make the scripture of no effect. Everything and every instruction you are giving to us, we run them with them with understanding and with zeal. And thank you because you give wings to us and you give strength to our arms. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.